According to the Sankhya, there are two principles of existence. Both of them are original. These two principles are the principles of Purusha and Prakriti. All that we see in the world, the Kshetra, is nothing but a manifestation of Prakriti. By Prakriti is meant that which is moving. Pra means that which is moved forth. Kriti means that which is in action. Forward action is Prakriti. So all that is moving in the world can be described in one word as Prakriti.
Moving forward.
Forward. Prakriti. Pra is forward. That is to say, according to Sankhya, the original condition is that of quiescence. The three gunas, according to Sankhya, are as it were gemmed. The tamas restrains action, rajas pushes forward, and sattva harmonizes. But neither the inertia is complete, nor the movement of rajas is complete, nor the movement of sattva is complete. Therefore, normally, they remain in a disequilibrium. A certain time can be reached when somehow, by a combination of these three forces, it may get jammed.
But not equilibrium.
Not equilibrium. They may get jammed. If this is tamas and if this is rajas, then both are moving in their own directions, but there is a jam then, arrestation. So, if there is arrestation at a given spot, it may remain there perpetually like that, unless something is introduced into it, and disequilibrium again takes place. According to Sankhya, it is Purusha glancing at Prakriti which produces this disequilibrium. The moment Purusha looks at Prakriti, that element is thrown into Prakriti by which the gem is resolved. For the movement of Prakriti, therefore, according to Sankhya, glancing of Purusha is indispensable. Prakriti does not unfold itself without Purusha glancing at it.
Can I ask that when it's in a state of equilibrium, when Purusha glances, then the movement doesn't take place?
No, when it is in the state of
equilibrium.
Yes.
And the glancing of the Purusha.
Then, yes.
Then this movement in different directions of the three gunas won't take place?
It should take place logically even then, but according to Sankhya, the Purusha does not get entangled into it. Prakriti goes on moving, but Purusha does not get entangled into it. In Sankhya there are propositions which are not all logically irremediable. They are not absolutely perfect. I am only expounding, afterwards I shall criticize it also. Your question is therefore very valid, and I shall show you how much it is valid. But for the moment I am only expounding what Sankhya says. Prakriti in the beginning is in a state of folded condition. It is not unfolding. Not because there is absence of activity, but activity is jammed. because of forces, three forces acting against each other, they are in a state of arrestation. Then Purusha glances at it and Prakriti begins to unfold.
You
may use the word creation, but usually creation would mean bringing out something which does not exist at all. But the word which is used in Sankhya and in other philosophies is manifestation. It's not a creation, but it is manifestation. Prakriti manifests. Manifests in the sense, it manifests what is within itself. What is within itself is nothing but play of gunas. So the whole world is nothing but a play of gunas. And all that is there in the Prakriti comes out. So apart from the gunas, there are 24 elements. So these 24 elements come out of it. The Pancha Mahabhutas, that is earth, water, fire, air and ether. Pancha Mahabhutas, five tanmatras, the essences of this five. Then five senses of action and five senses of knowledge. Then there is manas, ahankara and buddhi and the prakriti itself. These are all 24 elements. So the whole world is nothing but manifestation of 24 elements.
So this jamming and equilibrium is not to be confused.
No, you are right. So Purusha, when it glances at Prakriti, it not only bombards the arrestation of Prakriti, but something more also happens. It gets entangled into Prakriti. Not only is Prakriti released into action, but Purusha itself gets entangled into the movements of Prakriti. There is a loss of its own selfhood, or the Purusha, and gets identified with the movement of Prakriti. The only thing that remains of itself is a sense of enjoying. The only sense we have in which we say, I am not Prakriti, is only in our status of enjoying. When you say, I enjoy or I suffer, both are equal enjoyments in the sense of Sankhya. Even suffering, I enjoy, therefore I am suffering. All that you experience in this world is your enjoyment. So as long as you feel you are suffering and you are enjoying, and this is our constant experience, this experience shows you that you are not merely Prakriti. You are different from Prakriti, and as a result you are enjoying or suffering. You are, in other words, your sense of bondage, you are bound to Prakriti. This is how you recognize yourself while in the play of Prakriti. You recognize yourself as the enjoyer or as a sufferer in the world. And therefore, you begin to battle with Prakriti.